Remind me to put that mic on next week before I get up here. How's everybody this morning? Everybody good? Blessings to you. Do you feel the presence of the Lord this morning? If you are visiting with us this morning, we hope you especially feel the love of Christ in this place. We invite you. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you, a blue card. We invite you to register your attendance with us. Hope that you feel the Holy Spirit in this place. That is our goal. That is what we strive for. There's a place you can check on there if you would like to be added to our email list. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 4. Gerald, where's Gerald? You referenced this passage today, and you didn't even know I was preaching on it. When the Lord knows more than we do, doesn't he? Matthew 4. Now, Jesus had just spent his time in the wilderness. He had been baptized by John the Baptist. He had gone into the wilderness for 40 days and nights, and he had done battle with the devil. And before all that happened, he had been the Holy Spirit had filled him, had descended on him. And you remember the story where he descended on him at his baptism, and he goes and he does battle with the devil, and then he comes out of the wilderness and begins his ministry. We pick it up in verse 18, Matthew 4, 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you have been invited into this place. We ask that you would now speak in power and authority, that you would transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage, we read these stories from the Bible, and we can just kind of gloss over it, but we need to understand that these are real stories. These were real people. These were real places that took place. A pastor friend of mine several years ago, his wife's name was Annette, and he always said, when he'd introduce her, he said, "She's in the Bible." And remember they talked about casting a net into the sea? You know, that was her. His jokes were worse than mine, I promise. But about 5 years ago, many of us went to the Holy Land, and you kind of have those dream trips, and a lot of people, you know, it's Hawaii or Europe or whatever. For me, it was always the Holy Land. I just wanted to go and just see the place. And there's a picture. Show that picture. That was the Sea of Galilee out of our hotel, Cheryl and I's hotel window, our little balcony. Do you remember that, Cheryl? Cheryl hated that. No, she loves nature. Nature really, God speaks to her through nature. And we got up in the morning, and that was the view we had of Lake Sea of Galilee. Now, it's really more a lake. I noticed in this translation, the NIV speaks of it being a lake, but we know it as the Sea of Galilee. That's, you get into those translation things, but it's really a lake. And we had the opportunity to not only see the Sea of Galilee, but we actually got to ride a boat out on the water, and I walked around a little bit out on the lake. It was just fun. No, I'm just kidding. It was a joke. It was a joke. Oh, just a joke. No, Jesus and Peter, I left that one to them. But this is a real story, and it really struck me as we were actually seeing the Sea of Galilee and seeing the shoreline that Jesus probably was talking to the disciples. There's one particular place where they actually had everywhere something happened historically. They decided us people, you know, they decided, let's build something here, you know. So they had these little chapels all over the place where something significant happened, and the shoreline where Jesus historically fixed breakfast for the disciples after he was resurrected. There's a there's a chapel there on the shoreline of Sea of Galilee, and there's supposedly the stone where Jesus probably laid out the food and so forth. But it's just an incredible thing to see that these stories actually happen. There's been two words that's been rolling around in my mind for several months, but it's been intensifying, I think, in preparation to speak about it today. And the two words are come and go. Two very significant words in Jesus' vocabulary, come and go. So I want us to just kind of dissect those words, where what I think the Lord's been laying on my heart about those words. And the first thing is that before we can go and serve the Lord, we must come to Him. Do we understand that? You can't serve without having the Lord. And, you know, it's like, I've told you this before, it's like if somebody comes to me and say, Jeff, I'd like to borrow, you know, $1 million. I don't have $1 million, so I can't share any of that with them. We can't share what we do not have. Shake your head if you understand what I'm telling you. Come to Jesus to be molded into His image. To be molded into His image. Jesus said in this passage today, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, this is not a gender-exclusive club. This is, when we're speaking of men, He's speaking of mankind, we will be fishers of mankind, people. Now, a word that jumps out also besides come in that passage is the word make. We don't, you know, Jesus, whenever we come to Him, it's a process that's beginning in us where He is molding us into His own image. He is making us to be disciples. We don't just miraculously, like, know the Word of God. It's not just like, hey, you know, we have to read the Word of God. We don't just miraculously learn how to serve people in His power. We do. There's this process. Now, many times, molding is painful. Uh-oh. Molding is painful. Now, I tell this story. It's hilarious now. It was not hilarious at the time, but several years ago, I used to like to play softball, and the infields on our fields out at Nelson, they now, for you weenies that play now, it's all soft, kind of sandy kind of stuff, you know, because y'all are soft. But back in the day, it was like crushed diamonds. I mean, if you slid on, Johnny, am I right? It was like, it's like they took diamonds and they just crushed them up and let's spread these out here. And when you would slide, you know, you'd leave half of your body there on the field and you'd come home. Well, I slid one time. We were playing a game and I came home and Cheryl and I had been married 3 or 4 years. And I think the proper word in church is buttocks. My right buttocks. I left half of that. I kind of walked in a circle, you know. I left half of it out at Nelson Park, and I had this crushed diamond stuff. It was just embedded in there, and it was, you know. And of course, I'm like, I'm fine. Leave me alone, you know. She's like, oh, that's gonna get infected. It's gonna get infected, and so she had me. This is y'all are, okay, y'all. This is more than you want to know about your preacher. But so I laid out on the bed. Exposed the wounded area, and she's picking this stuff out, and she picks it out and she gets it fairly, you know, out of there, and then she says, oh, that's going to get infected, we got to treat that. And I said, no, I'm good, I'm really good. I mean, it's saying, I'm not kidding you, it was a big old, you know, they call them strawberries, at least I call them strawberries. And she said, oh, we've got to treat that or it's going to get infected. So she brings out this little brown bottle. You know where we're talking about. And she gets a cotton ball and she starts dabbing it on this spot. And I don't think I used any bad language. I'm pretty sure I didn't. Oh, I'm telling you, my right buttocks set on fire. And I'm like, blow, blow. And so here's the picture. She's leaning over the bed. And then she gets tickled because of what she's doing, and she can't blow. And then I get mad. It was, at the time, it was really painful. That's, yeah, that is love right there. Okay, I don't know why I'm telling that story. Let's see, there's a reason there. Okay, there, I'm back on task here. We are wounded. There we go. You thought you didn't know I was going to tie that in, did you? The rest of y'all, every time you see me, you're going to be like, we all are wounded, aren't we, church? And the thing about our wounds is Jesus wants to clean the wound. And that's painful. It is painful. Y'all had no idea where I was going, but that's where I was going with that. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. But sometimes that process involves pain. I want to, this is probably dangerous, but if you feel so led, I want you to answer a question. How many of you have really, in your life, you reflect back on your journey with God, and you've really grown, you know, just really a lot more intimate and closer to God through good times? Raise your hand. A few of you? How many of you have grown much deeper and more intimate with God through trials and struggles in your life? A lot more hands went up. That doesn't mean that we can't grow in the good times. It doesn't mean that God won't, you know, bless us and draw us closer to Him. But there's something about trials. There's something about this woundedness that draws us to God. And let me tell you why that is. Because He's the only one that can help us. He's the only one that can help us. It doesn't matter how rich, good-looking, popular, none of those things. It doesn't matter about any of those things. When we face those horrendous trials in our life, there's only one person that can help us, and His name is Jesus Christ. And He wants to mold us in His image. Come to me, He says, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's the God we serve. That's the God I want to tell you about. That's the God who's changed my life. We come to Jesus when to receive a pure heart. I love the passage. And you'll hear me when I baptize infants, and I know that can get into, if you come from different theological backgrounds, different denominational backgrounds or whatever, we can struggle some with that. But that's for another time. But one of the things Jesus said when I baptized them, I'd say, Jesus said, let the little children come to me, because such to these belongs the kingdom of heaven. There's this, what He's talking about is the innocence that a child comes to us. But the innocence of a child. I kind of grieve sometimes. I'll watch y'all's children, and I've seen it so many times. When they're little kids, they come running up to me, and they hug me. And I'm telling you, man, that blesses me as much as anything you can imagine, is when the hugs of the children. And then I see them when they get to those teenage years. It's like, all of a sudden, we're too cool for school, baby. That's too cool to run up and hug the preacher. Or the hug, it's like, yeah, I got my, you know, you got your cool on. And I don't know, y'all recognize that was my cool. That was my cool talk. But I see it. It's like something happens as we're transitioning into adults. It's like we suddenly lose that innocence. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, come to me like that. Come to me like that, and this with a pure heart. With an innocence where you just want to crawl up in Jesus' lap and just let Him hug you. And sometimes our pride gets in the way of that. We come to Jesus to receive full life, abundant life. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We need to destroy. We need to understand that not only do we have a Savior that loves us, that wants to give us abundant life, but we have an enemy who wants to destroy us and take us out. Do we understand that? I mean, in every aspect, we see it, I see it all the time with He uses all sorts of things. He uses our pride, and He uses our lusts, and he works through marriages, and He works through friendships and relationships, and He just wants to destroy everything in our life. He wants to destroy our witness. And we've talked about that. And I try to really guard myself against that. It's like, man, when a Christian, and especially a pastor, but even just a Christian, just a normal everyday Christian, when we stumble, it impacts the gospel. It impacts the gospel. But we have a thief who wants to destroy us, and we have a Savior who wants abundant life for us. Abundant life for us. Man. We come to Jesus to be made whole. Jesus launched his ministry. He said he came to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. That's his goal in life, is to give us freedom so that we walk in freedom. We walk in joy, in abundance. He's come to heal the brokenhearted. I don't know if there's any one of us among us that could say we have not at some point in our life been brokenhearted for different reasons. Because the simple fact is, this life is hard, isn't it, church? This life can throw some things at us that are just hard. Billy mentioned it earlier. Martha White joined our church several months ago. And Tuesday, she's going to be burying her 3-year-old great-grandson. We shouldn't have to do that, but this world is hard. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And I want to tell you that when you face those trials, and if I come to visit with you, that's all I have to offer you. That's all I have to offer you, and it is sufficient. What I have to offer you is the hope of Jesus Christ, that you can make it. You can make it through the trials that this world throws at you. So Jesus, he says this word, come. Come to me. Come to me. Now, I want us, I've done this before, but I want you to take a deep breath. Now let it out. Now do it again. Now let it out. That's symbolic, the breathing process, how we take in Jesus and we breathe out Jesus. Are we understanding that? You take in, come to me, drawn in. Now, the next word is to go. He doesn't save us. He doesn't restore our brokenness just so that we will be made whole, but it's so that we can bring others to the one who can make them whole. Are we understanding that, church? If we take the love of Christ and we stick it in our pocket and we go, all right, I'm going to save that for a rainy day. I've got my ticket for heaven, and that's all I need. I'm going to stick that in my pocket. And I'm going to take good care of it. If that's all we do with what Christ has done for us, that's not the church. That's not the body of Christ. Go into the world to bear fruit for Christ. Bear fruit for Christ. John 15 says, Jesus speaks in John 15, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Last week the passage was out of 2 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, I believe was the passage last week. And he spoke of that we are the body of Christ, we're the royal priesthood in order to proclaim his praises. Do you remember that last week if you were here? That we are God's people and our purpose in life is to bring glory to him. We breathe in this coming to Jesus, this where he heals us, and we breathe out the goodness of Christ. We bear fruit. Cheryl and I, several years ago, they're probably 5 or 6 years old, we planted some red oaks in our backyard. And they've taken these first several years, and they've been taking root, and they're starting to grow and everything. This past spring, they came out. I don't remember, it was early in the spring. And they came out and they put off these beautiful leaves. And it was like, man, it's going to be a good year for these trees and everything. Do you remember we had a late freeze? Does anybody remember that in the spring? We had a late freeze. And, man, these leaves, these beautiful leaves that had been put on by these trees, suddenly they just went and they just closed up and they just looked shredded. We have contemplated really for months, was it that late freeze or was there some, we had a guy spray for some weeds and like, did that damage the trees or whatever? But you can tell when those trees are being fruitful, when they're being abundant and vibrant. You can see that. It's very evident Did you know that we can see that in our lives? When we are a people of abundant fruit, people can see that. If we claim to be a Christian, and yet we're walking in the ways of the world, we're just kind of like sinning, doing things that we feel like, whatever we feel like doing, that not only does not bring glory to God, it does disservice to the gospel and disservice to our Lord and Savior, because He hung on a cross to buy us that opportunity to be His representatives to the world, to go and bear fruit. We go into the world to proclaim the goodness for Christ. Now, in Mark chapter 5, this is another thing we saw when we were there in the Holy Land, there on the Sea of Galilee. They pointed out some cliffs on the backside of the lake, and they said these are the only cliffs that come to the edge of the water on the Sea of Galilee. And so it's the only geographical spot where, do you remember the passage in Mark chapter 5 where Jesus comes up on the shore and there's the man who's demon-possessed and he's like going crazy, and he basically casts out the demons into the pigs who run off the cliff into the water. So they pointed out these cliffs right here are the only cliffs that front the water. So that had to happen right here. So Jesus, he's got this man who's running around, he's demon-possessed, he's cutting himself, he's out of control. People have tried chaining him and doing all sorts of things, and he's just out of control. Jesus casts the demons out of this man. The man is so grateful, and he just wants to go with Jesus. I just want to be with you. I want to hang out with you, follow you. And Jesus said, no, go back to your city. Go back to your town, to your family, to your friends, and tell them what the Lord has done for you. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you is what Christ's quote is. We go into the world to proclaim the goodness of Christ. Now, I just got to tell you, I know that some of us are shy. Some of us introverted and all that. I get that. And there's different ways that we can do this. But I want to tell you, if Christ has redeemed you, if he's changed your life, and you're not in some way proclaiming that, even if it's just one-on-one with a friend across the lunch table from you, but if we're not proclaiming that, we are being disobedient to the words of Christ. Christ said, go into the world, proclaim my goodness. Tell the world how much I have done for you. We go into the world to love on behalf of Christ. To love on behalf of Christ. And you know the story of the Good Samaritan. And the man's been beaten and robbed, and he's laying on the side of the road, and these two priests walk by, and they cross to the other side. It's like, I don't have time for this guy. I don't want to mess with that. And then the Samaritan, who was an enemy of the Jews, takes his time. He nurses this person back to health. He puts him on his donkey, takes him in to town, and he says, care for him. Here's some money to care for him. When I return, if I owe you anything else, I will pay that when I come back. And so Jesus is telling that story in response to the question is, when we hear love our neighbor as ourself, and the question was, who's our neighbor? So Jesus is speaking that the neighbor is the one who serves. And Jesus said, after he had told this story, he said, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, listen to this, go and do likewise. Jesus is teaching us to be servants. And again, so ironic that the children's sermon this morning was on that. I would wish I could say I planned all of these things, but the Lord had his hand in that. And finally, we go into the world to lead others to Christ. One of the most famous uses of the word go in Jesus' time was when he said, go and make disciples. There's this coming and making, where we come to Jesus and he's making us into disciples. And then there's this sending. Jared and I talked about this past week, and he said he mentions this to the youth. It's like if we never transition from the coming to the going, to the being sent, we're missing it. We're missing the whole point. And with youth, it could be something simple like just be nice to the new kid. Ask them to sit with you at lunch. I see it all the time, even like when we have dinners and stuff, even here at church. And we do a great job, I think, of welcoming people. But our tendency as people, our tendency, our human nature is to hang with those we're comfortable with, isn't it? We, you know, it's like, I know them. I'll sit with them. I'll talk to them. Because they make me feel comfortable. That's our human nature. But I want to tell you that in the ways of Christ, he's saying, no, be a servant. We lay down our lives. We lay down our lives for our fellow man. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now that was radical stuff back in Jesus' day to say baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son. Well, he was saying baptize them in my name also. The Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That was radical. The Jews were, that's what got Jesus killed in the first place, was claiming to be God. We breathe in this coming to Jesus. We breathe out this going, this sentness into the world. If you would just bow your heads with me. Father, we ask you to speak to our hearts, to teach us how to be your children. This coming and going, Father, how you have called us to come to you and then you have called us to be sent into this hurting world. Teach us how to do that. Father, may we be a fruitful people. When people see us and think of us, Father, may they see you. May we be, Father, as your word says that we are your ambassadors, as though you were making your appeal through us. So let us be effective, fruitful ambassadors for you, Christ. May we be truly fishers of men. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first thing we talked about was coming to Jesus. If you have not come to Jesus this morning, I just pray that this would be your day. This would be your day. You can come and visit with me during the closing song. You can come and visit with me after church. Let's stand as the praise team comes forward and as we close.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. Nothing else can take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way, bring me back to you. You're all close to you. You are my desire. No one else will do. Cause nothing else could take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you.
Disciples. Are you ready to go make disciples, church? Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you.
You're